Good evening. Oh, I'm on, and James is going to help me tonight, and I'm not going to talk out of two mics at the same time. I'm trying to think about this, Pastor, where I want to put this, where people can read this. Diane, can you see those scriptures from there? Oh, good. Okay, so I don't need to get any closer. Y'all are good. Y'all can check it out later. Well, that's what I had reference to. You can read them. Praise God. Well, this has been a blessing to me, too. I'm glad to hear that you guys have been blessed as well. I mentioned to you from the beginning that I wanted to say something to you. Oh, I'm sorry. I can move out. Okay, I'm good. That I wanted to tell you about this book, Two Chairs, by Bob Bodine. Now, it's not on the subject of intercessory prayer, but it is on the subject of your daily prayer, your communing with God, and it really is a good book, so I just wanted to make you aware of it. You know, I talked about variety and how God works in various forms. One of my ministries is I am a librarian for God. You may have never seen that written in Ephesians, but I am a librarian for God, and he's just always used me to connect people with books, and I've seen a lot of people blessed. So I want to make you aware of this. Bob Bodine is president and CEO of Eastman and Bodine, and recognized as the top sports entertainment search executive in the U.S. He has served as a member of the board of directors of the Texas Rangers, and been married 32 years, has three daughters, lives in Plano, Texas. But what I wanted to tell you about this book is he talks about what he learned from his mother. Excuse me a second. What he learned from his mother, and she said, if you will do this in your life, you will be successful. Every morning you set up two chairs, and you visualize that God is there with you in the room, and you ask yourself three things. Does God know my situation? Is it too hard for him to handle? Does he have a good plan? And once you've established that, and you guys know the right answers to all those, you ask God things such as, is there one thing you would like me to change today? You don't go at God with, oh, God, these problems are so insurmountable. I don't know what I do. Oh, God, please. What do you want me to do today? What do you have to say to me? How are you seeing this situation? Psalm 32:8, and all the scriptures I'm talking about tonight are up here on the chart. I had already given Deb quite a bit to copy for you, and I didn't want to give her another sheet. So any scriptures I'm referring to tonight are up here. The sheet of scriptures you have that's about three pages long, we won't go over those tonight. That's for you to take home, and I'll tell you more about that later. So anyway, Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Bob says, God has lots of stories to share with you about hardship, rejection, battles, miracles, and love. Have you figured out yet that you're one of his epic stories? You are. You are not close to done yet. He wants to tell you that you're loved, you're amazing, you're fabulous, and you're special. This is an extra copy of this book that I have, and if you are the first one to see me tonight and you'd like to borrow this, you're welcome to borrow it. If you want to buy it, I'll sell it to you for $10. All right, that is that. Well, let's pray. Father, we just love you tonight. We're so thankful to be in your presence. We're thankful for the time that we have gotten to go over what it is to intercede for others and the things that you've taught us and refreshed in our minds and encouraged us in. We thank you that again tonight, that everyone here in Jesus' name is going to flow in the Spirit. We're going to communicate with one another. We're going to listen to the Spirit of God. Things are going to go down deep in our spirit, and we're going to be changed and grown up in the things dealing with prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. We've talked about the scriptural basis for prayer, the importance of that. He creates the fruit of our lips. Elizabeth was talking about a victory she had this week, and we had a victory at our house, something that was attacking my husband. And you just go to him, and you don't just immediately start spouting off every healing scripture, you know. You say, okay, God, what do we got here? And the scriptures that came up in my spirit were, though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it will not come near me. I may hear about my Christian brothers having this same problem, but just because my Christian brothers are attacked with this doesn't mean I have to let it hit me. So we claim that scripture, and then he does create the fruit of our lips, and he does watch, and just watch God move on the scene, and just in no time, seeing results, seeing things turn around, and just thank God for that. As your advocate, the Holy Spirit will lead you to the scriptures you need. That was the second aspect we got into. We talked about the scriptures. We lined up a bunch of scriptures. Then we started talking about how the Holy Spirit works with us in this. He'll lead you to the scriptures you need, and he'll quicken them to your heart, both in tongues and with your understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world." It's out there. It's on the TV. It's in your loved one's breath. It's in your neighbor's speech. But we've not received that Spirit. And we set our minds that we are not going to receive that Spirit that belongs to the world. But the Holy Spirit, who is from God, given to us. Why do we get the Holy Spirit? He was given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. I was telling Monica before church that I just did a word study today on lavish, lavishly. I went to the Amplified and to the Message Bible. And just God just came in that room, and it was just so sweet. God just, he lavishes on us. He lavishes on us. I can't go into that. I'll be way off. And we'll not get through, but we want to finish this tonight. So anyway, those things come by the Holy Spirit, and he animates our prayer. He energizes our prayer. He sends it in the right direction. I want to read something to you from Lynn Hammond's book. This has been our main book during this study. It's called The Master is Calling. Isaiah 43, verse 25 and 26. He says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified." Lynn writes, "When God says, 'Put me in remembrance,' he's not telling you to remind him of what a great person you are, or how very much you want your prayer to be answered. He is telling you to put him in remembrance of his word. For according to divine law, that word is the only plea to which he can respond." Your next scripture here is, didn't get put up there. Okay, Isaiah 62. Write that one down. Isaiah 62, 6 through 7. "I have put a watchman upon your walls, O Jerusalem, who will never hold their peace day or night. You who are his servants, and by your prayers put the Lord in remembrance of his promises. Keep not silence, and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes her a praise in the earth." Lynn writes, "Your job in prayer is to hold God's word before him and keep it there until that word is manifested in the person or situation for which you are praying. You are to put together an airtight case based on the specific scriptures and to keep pleading that case in the court of heaven until your adversary, the devil, gives up and goes home." Of course, you don't have to do this by yourself. You have the Holy Spirit to help you. One of his names is Advocate. An advocate is a lawyer who pleads another's case. As your advocate, the Holy Spirit will lead you to the scriptures you need. He'll quicken them to your heart. He'll help you bring forth your case with such eloquence, both in other tongues and with your understanding, that the devil won't stand a chance against you. Then he'll help you stand strong until your case is fully won. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One thing that I wanted us to spend a short time on tonight is something that is foremost in all of our minds right now, and that's prayer for our nation. We're in such a crucial time leading up to this national presidential election, and all of us realize how important and crucial it is. In the first week that we were here together, we looked at some scriptures that you're all very familiar with in Chronicles about praying, and if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And we looked in, I think it's in 1 Timothy, where it talks about, first of all, pray for, pray for those in authority. You're familiar with those. There's another scripture that I wanted to add to that, that was written in Jeremiah 29:7. This was written at a time when the Israelites were in captivity. Well, we're not in captivity, but there are a lot of things that are captivating us as far as laws and things that we don't necessarily agree with that are over us right now. And there are attitudes and such in places of authority that are not in agreement with what we know the Word of God to be. So I think this verse does apply to us. Jeremiah 29:7 says, the Lord says, and seek, inquire for, require, and request the peace and the welfare of the city to which I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in the welfare of the city in which you live, you will have welfare. And we know that our nation was founded on biblical principles. It was a group of people who came here because they wanted religious liberty and because they wanted to worship God that founded this nation. And God has prophesied some things to us through people that we're, you know, very familiar with, that this is his nation and he wants to see it promoted. But also in that, this is a nation that spreads the gospel around the world. And it's good for the world for us to prosper and to be able to do these things. One of the handouts that I gave you that's titled Prayer for Our Nation is a prayer that Kenneth Copeland led a number of years ago. This isn't a recent prayer, but as I was reading over it, to me, it just really applied to our current situation. And so tonight, I'm going to read it, and you pray it along with me. You can pray it in English. You can pray in tongues, however you see fit. But I think to give God honor, let's stand while we do this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come again today. And we come in the name of Jesus. Not our name, not our power, not our holiness, not even our goodness. But we come in the name of Jesus, washed in his blood, robed in his righteousness. We come because you told us to come. You said in your holy word for us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain help and grace to help in the time of need. Thank you, Father. We are exhorted in your word to pray, to intercede, to supplicate, and to give thanks for all who are in authority, that Christians, that believers everywhere may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We pray for our leaders, our president, our presidential candidates, every member of Congress, the Supreme Court, the President's Cabinet, everyone that is in authority, that divine wisdom and grace will be given unto them, and direction will be given unto them. We come against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil that would try to dominate and rule in our own nation. We rise up against that darkness. We rise up against those spirits, and we dispel darkness. In the name of Jesus, we command the devil to take his hand off of the political scene of our nation. We pray for every politician, everyone that's in office, that they'll not be so concerned about politics, that they'll not be so party conscious, but that they'll be concerned about our nation as a whole, and above all, put God first. We come against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil, the demons of hell that would endeavor to dominate the financial scene of our nation. We pray that we will be prosperous as a whole, as a nation, to continue to carry the gospel around the world. We command the devil and all his cohorts, take your hand off of the financial scene of our nation. We come against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil that would endeavor to dominate the domestic scene of our nation. We command you, Satan, and all your cohorts, take your hand off the domestic scene of our nation. May there be peace. May there be tranquility. May there be understanding from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from the Gulf of Mexico to the Canadian border, in Alaska and Hawaii. We sweep the air clean from demons, powers of evil that would hinder, that would dominate. In the name of Jesus, we come against all forces that are wrong. And Father, we pray with our understanding as best we know how. We're instructed to do so. Yet we sense in our spirit that our spirits have not prayed as they would like. We remember that Paul said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. My spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. So the great, mighty Spirit of God dwells in us. He will give us utterance, and we will pray and intercede and give thanks in the Spirit. Now let's just pray in tongues for a little bit. Asi mai ka yu du wa jala bo tu ye shiri ada ko shari la ka so bara de samare de stera tari de bo shaya tari de bo shaya tari de bo shaya so la ma ka ri yo shoda isa wa da ba shen isa wa da ba shan isa wa da ba shan de le ko so da ma is wori tabri siri aban Shini la, shini la, shini la, shini la. So kariana sabadiyeshen. Shigiriya sagiriya hash. Shigiriya sadarama shol. Rekelema paridiya kore salaba. Yupre sabada, yupre sadaba, yupre sigiriyata. Odore kasibra handolo koshte. O la shabra bandala basho. O la washandala basonyo. All of us shanda basanda was yo. She had a kasoa, yasada babra vede, shebri kalasa. Oh, resela, all of shabra kala. And now we praise you, O Lord. Kalishi nataya. We thank you, O Lord. Kaziri amatrai. Yerda stoda, yerda stoda, yerda stoda. Thank you, Lord. You hear us. Thank you, Lord. You answer from heaven. Oh, resavada kalasham. Ara kadeshada, o kadeshelabasa. Hallelujah. 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 Sagayesha. Sagesha. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Anybody have anything?
I am involved and I am concerned with this nation and with the things that happen in this nation, realizing that only through my Holy Spirit will things be directed and will things come about as I intend? So when the saints pray, then exercise your faith and believe me and trust me that I've not lost an eye for the country, nor have I lost a will to make it right. So believe and trust and praise, and let me take care of it, says the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You may be seated. God is so good. So sweet, so near, so precious. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Let's talk for a little bit about perseverance in prayer. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 35 through 36. Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward. For you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised. Kenneth Copeland says, refers to the scripture in Luke 11:8. You remember that story about the man who has unexpected company, and so he goes to his neighbor and says, I've had company, they've come in, I need bread. And he says, I'm asleep, you know, my kids are asleep, leave me alone. He says, oh, please, 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 you got to help me. And he persists. And Luke 11:8, it says, I tell you, although he will not get up and supply him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his shameless persistence and insistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Copeland says, many who are already saved don't pray persistently for those who aren't. Instead of persevering, staying before the Father, praying for them to receive the bread of salvation like the man in Luke 11:8 did for his friend, when we don't see immediate results, we simply give up and go home. What we don't realize is this: perseverance is the key to success in intercession. Why? It's certainly not because you have to change. I'm kind of ringing, Bob. It's certainly not because you have to change God's mind. He never changes. His mind's made up. He wants all men saved. Now, this is the important part. The reason you have to persevere in intercession is to put pressure on the demonic forces that are trying to keep God's will from being accomplished. Those forces must be broken down through prayer so that strongholds are destroyed and spiritual blinders are removed from the spiritual eyes of the people you're praying for. You remember the scripture says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? I like the explanation that gates are stationary things. The prevailing is because we're coming against those gates. We're bursting them open and we're taking the captives out. So that's what they're talking about as we come against the demonic forces. You see, God will not go against the will of any person, Copeland writes, but he will move through your intercession to reveal himself to them. Through your persistent prayer, he will bring them to the knowledge of their need for him. Then they'll reach out for him and spiritual rebirth can take place. Stop sitting around. Get busy interceding for them. Persevere in prayer. Pray the prayers of Ephesians 1:16-23. We talked about that either last session or the session before, so it's in your notes if you go back there. Pray that prayer for them, refusing to give up until they're safe inside God's kingdom. Jesus has already laid down his life so that they can be saved. The question is, will you? I gave you a handout to take home. We're not going over it tonight, called The Return of the Strong Will. This is a set of scriptures, mainly out of the Amplified, that are excellent for praying for those that are not in the kingdom that are supposed to be in the kingdom. And you can go through and just pray every single prayer, or at other times you may want to let the Holy Spirit lead you just to center in on one and just to meditate on it and to put those people's names in there that you're praying for. And on the last page, you'll see some scriptures that you probably are familiar with about praying for laborers to be thrust forth and praying for open doors for the word to go in. All those good things. And that's for you to take home and study there. So we talked about persevering in prayer and the importance of persevering. But you know what is so wonderful about God? Yes, we have to persevere. Yes, I heard something, I think it was George Mueller maybe, and it said that he prayed 52 years for this man's salvation. And at his funeral, the man was saved. Well, that's a wonderful story, but we hate to think that we're going to have to persevere 52 years. But let me tell you, praise God, there are some suddenlies and there are some speedilies in God's word. And we need to think on those things and expect those things and know that you may feel like right now, I've been praying for this quite a while. Quit counting how many years you've been praying for things and start looking ahead to the answer. We went through, I can't tell you to this day how many years it was. We went through years where we were suffering extreme financial difficulties. And the devil would try to tell me, how long have you been praying for this? I said, I'm not looking at how long. But one day there was a suddenly, and there was a turnaround, and we're not in lack anymore. Praise God. So let's look at some speedilies and suddenlies. Joel Osteen uses this example. He says there was this man, he had this huge boulder in his yard that he wanted removed. So every day he'd go out with his sledgehammer, and he'd hit that thing till he didn't have any strength left, and he'd look at that boulder, and it was still there. So he'd come out the next day, and he did it again, and he did it again. One day he hit that boulder, and it just went into 1,000 pieces. All that time, that boulder looked exactly the same, but what was happening on the inside, the integrity of that boulder was being diminished. Let me see if I said it like, yeah, one day it split, and nothing had been seen, but on the inside, the integrity of the rock was weakened. That's what's happening, whatever you're praying for in faith. That integrity of that thing, whether you can see it on the outside or not, it's given way. It's given way. Praise the Lord. So let's look at some of the things God said about speedily and suddenly. So we'll kind of go rather quickly through this. Isaiah 51, 14 and 15. The captive exile and he who is bent down by chains shall speedily be released, and he shall not die and go down to the pit of destruction, nor shall his food fail. For I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, and who by rebuke restrains it. The Lord of hosts is his name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your healing, your restoration, the power of new life shall spring forth speedily. And it goes on with some more good stuff. Psalm 64:7. But God will shoot an unexpected arrow at them, and suddenly shall they be wounded. Isaiah 48:3. I have declared from the beginning the former things which happened in times past to Israel. They went forth from my mouth, and I made them known. Then suddenly I did them, and they came to pass, says the Lord. Then you remember the story in Mark 5:29 about the woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. So sicknesses that you may have been fighting a long time, know there's a suddenly coming. Acts 2:2, he told them to go and wait. They waited for how many days was it? Would they wait 40 days? When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. Acts 8:39, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly caught away Philip. Are you ready to get translated? Amen. Praise the Lord. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Acts 12:7, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared standing beside him, and a light shone in the place where he was. And the angel gently smote Peter on the side and awakened him, saying, get up quickly, and the chains fell off his hands. Praise God. There's a lot of suddenlies out there, and so we're going to believe for those. Graham Cook, the video that you saw last week, he says,
it's in here.
There it is. He says, God says, why don't you take a leaf out of heaven's book and get happy about everything? Count it all joy, because that just annoys the enemy intensely. So when you, instead of looking around and seeing the gloom and the gook, take a leaf out of heaven's book and get happy about everything. You remember that scripture where it says God sits in the heavens and laughs? He knows what's coming. He knows the end, and he's happy about it, and he's inviting you to be happy about it as well. And the last scripture I want to give you, and then we're just going to talk about the goodness of God. Y'all are going to get to talk about what God's doing, and you're going to reach down, and you may be thinking this second, well, I don't know that I have anything, but I bet you, the Lord will let me bet on this one. I bet you that he's going to put something in you that you want to share. This just kind of dropped in my spirit the other day as I was studying for this. You remember the scripture in Habakkuk 2:2-3? And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes by may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand or on its appointed day. So you have, to a certain level at least, committed to be a person of interceding prayer. That's why you've been coming to these meetings, because most of you, I've seen you here again and again. God's put something in your heart that there's a hunger to intercede on behalf of some issues, or you know, many issues. So what he dropped in my heart is you've learned about this, about writing it down. We need to start making pictures, word pictures. How's it going to be when so-and-so gets saved? What's it going to look like when they are following the Lord? We need to write down some pictures. What's it going to be like when this financial thing is over for this family? What are they going to look like? What is it going to be like when that marriage gets back together? How's it going to be? It's time to use that imagination that God gave you for the thing that he gave it to you for. Start imagining like Joseph did when he put those sticks up around that river and those sheep started turning spotted and speckled from those things that he stood up. We need to make some pictures. We need to make some written statements of what God is doing and what we're expecting to see. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. Elizabeth, while they're getting their thoughts together, tell us your testimony about what God did with you in June this week, because that was really good. But we want to hear from other people, too. We've got time for this.
This is a matter of something I've been praying for since March. All of a sudden, my blood pressure shot. Don't know why. Family's good. Kids are good. Marriage is good. God is good. We're being provided for. We have work. We have money to pay the bills. It just did. I got healthy, dropped about 20 pounds, thought, I'm overweight. This is part of it. It wasn't, because nothing happened. I've been running about 186 to 194 over 80-something. Sharon knows that's not healthy. That's stroke area. I've been praying, and I've been trusting the Lord, because I was the woman that reached out for the robe and instantly was healed of a bleeding ulcer. I have seen so much healing that I know God is faithful. So, as I said, I've been praying. Yesterday, June and I decided to get out and spend the day outside. We went to Mercer Arboretum on Aldine Westfield. We walked for about 4 hours. Walked a long time, all over one part of it, crossed the road, and went over the rest of it. It was hot, and it was warm, and it was muggy, and I was sweating profusely. And every once in a while, I would bend down and say, give me just a minute. And I just let the heart calm down. It would be, you know, she's a quick walker. If you ever walk with June, you get your exercise. But the other thing she is she's persistent in prayer. And this is such a good example of tonight. And she's one of those that will hear the Spirit say something. She'll stop and she'll say, let's pray. And she did it yesterday. About the third time I said, give me just a minute. She laid her hands on my shoulder and we stood there And she demanded that that blood pressure line up with the Word of God. Nothing big, nothing fluffy, nothing, you know, outrageous. Just blood pressure, you have to line up with the Word of God. And I command you to come down to normal, 120 over 70-something. We walked up on our way. We finished. We had a great day. I was exhausted when I got home, and I told Ray, if it doesn't come out of the freezer or out of a box on the shelf, it's not happening for dinner. I was tired. Took a nice shower, calmed down, cooled down, gave it an hour, got up, and made dinner. This morning, I was watching Joyce Meyer, and she was preaching on the choices we make about our attitude and the things that we let bother us. And it was a good teaching. And I was listening, and I was very calm. And all of a sudden, I looked over to my blood pressure cuff, and I thought, it's been about 3 days. Truthfully, I've been a little fearful of taking it because I'm expecting it to come down. But it hasn't been. And I've been going through the why nots. So I took my blood pressure, and I did it on my wrist, which doctors don't like. It's not as accurate. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it, and I went, holy cow, 133 over 68? And what did I let come out of my mouth? That can't be. Now, I'm not saying I was doubting God because I've been trusting him. I thought it was a blood pressure cuff because I did it on my wrist. So I shoved that thing up, and I waited just a few minutes, and I did it again. And it was 126 over 69. And I just sat there and I just thanked the Lord. And I see you're here now. And I'm so grateful that when the Holy Spirit speaks to this intercessor, mm-hmm. she's faithful to be obedient, listen, and pray.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Someone else. Are you coming, Susan? Oh, I might be able to get it to go over there. Excuse me, Joan.
Well, I'm boasting in the Lord and not in myself at all.
Right.
The other night, a night or two ago, I can't remember now, there was a young man in our church who had an allergic reaction. And I didn't know about it, but I was watching TV. And I just felt uncomfortable. There was something that was making me uncomfortable. So I turned off the TV, and I started praying in tongues, because I didn't know what it was. My husband was not home at the time, so, you know, I thought, well, it could be something with him. So I just kept praying, and after a while, I saw there was an email, and it said this young man was having an allergic reaction. And so I'm just thanking God because it just is encouraging to all of us to know that he puts people in place to pray mm-hmm. when there's something going on and we don't even know it.
Awesome. Awesome. Praise God. And we just all want to grow in that sensitivity to the Lord.
So the Sunday before Memorial Day, I came down with my first occurrence of shingles. Went to the place, and lady nurse didn't know whether it was shingles or a staph infection, so she gave me medicine for both. Tuesday, I was blessed enough to get in to see my general practitioner, and lo and behold, she said, "Yeah, you've got a bad case of shingles, so hold on for a long and painful ride." Well, Deb put out a prayer request. Everybody went to praying, and that Thursday, my wife and her godly wisdom went into the internet, and lo and behold, found a situation where a guy said he had a natural way that guaranteed that shingles would be gone in 3 days, and she found a few other things. So that night, we went to Whole Foods, did our shopping. And with much prayer and got started with this whole situation. That was Thursday night at 8 o'clock. I had sores inside and blisters inside my mouth and in my throat. they were gone, completely gone, with colloidal silver and vitamin C that Burl had told us about way back in the day. And I just wanted to say, and then Sunday, I stayed home, and even though I was feeling like a million bucks, and watched the service online and wrote my testimony and sent it out to people that had shingles, giving God all the glory because I was healed.
That was awesome.
The following Monday, I went back to my doctor, and she walked in and saw me, could not believe it, absolutely could not believe it, and three other people that she had told about in the hallway walked in and looked at me and said, "There is no way. There is no way." And my doctor called it a miracle.
I believe it. I believe. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Waylon got one. Who else? Portia, what is it? She's fighting the good fight.
You know, we all struggle with things in our lives, and we pray and we trust God, and He provides for us, whether you're single or married or divorced or widowed or whatever your situation may be. We put our trust in the Lord, and He delivers us. And it was several years ago, some of you may remember, a Sunday morning when after service I drove myself to the hospital thinking that it might be a heart situation, and my pastors and my friends about killed me because I drove myself to the hospital. I had to get there. And it wasn't a heart, and it was just something else. I don't agree with what the doctor said it was, but anyway. But it was in that period of time where my daughter looked at me and she said, "Mother, when are you going to think about retirement, or when are you going to think about slowing down?" And I was, you know, I trusted God, but for some reason in my life, I thought I would work the rest of my life. I just didn't see. I didn't have a husband. I didn't have a retirement. You know, all the things that the world looks at and says you ought to have to be able to do this. And so I just had to admit to my daughter, who I had taught the Word of God, that there was a little bit of fear, and I had to deal with that. And as I began to deal with it, let it go, and began to trust God in a new way, I began to work towards that fact that maybe someday I could begin to think of enjoying life, doing something beside working 24/7. And most of you know that over the last 3 years, I've been an event coordinator, and it's caused me to have to travel all over the United States. And I love to travel to Africa, Guatemala, and, you know, any place in the world, but the work here in the United States had become very taxing. And in all of that period of time, the Lord was using it to bless me financially so that I could begin to look at it, and had told some personal friends that maybe by the end of this year I would quit this job. And so that was what I was pursuing. And all of a sudden, about 3 months ago, our company the company decided to reorganize the marketing department, and they put my job in under the marketing, and the VP called me and said, "Portia, all of these jobs are being rewritten, and everyone's job, they have to reapply for their own job that has been redescribed. However, you will not have to." And I was like, "Oh, praise the Lord." And a few weeks later, as I was talking to one of my coworkers, he said to me, "Have you ever thought about offering your position? Because there were several out of these that were going to lose their livelihoods. And you're thinking of retirement, and maybe if you give them your position, they would offer you the package that they give for the people who would not have it." And so you know, I sat and prayed about it one night, wrote a little deal, called the VP and said, "Scott, by the way, you know, I would like to tell you that if you would like to take my position, I would be willing to offer it if you wanted to give me the severance package. And so he said, well, we'll consider that. And it went by the wayside. Nothing was said or done. And we were expecting it to come about. And finally, this past Friday, I get the call from the VP and the human resource director, and they say, we have decided to eliminate your position. And because we are eliminating it, we will be able to offer you the severance package. And I was sitting there going, yes! You know, and being very calm, well, that's very nice. So, you know, so lovely. And they've made calls to other people that actually were not able to keep their job. And I've talked in the last 2 days because all this just came about. And today, two different ones of them called me, are you okay? Many of the people that I work with have been so upset. And I said, oh, it's okay. You know, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to go do missions. You know, I'm going to send you my letter and you're going to support me. And, and they're saying, yeah, send it. And these other two people that are just devastated have called, and I've been able to say, hey, guys, listen to me. You can sell all the catalysts you want to sell in the world. You can do all the things you want to, but someday you're going to stand before God, and you're going to have to face him. And the most important thing in life is that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So the opportunities of suddenlies have been so good, and there are many of them Catholics, and they would say, well, pray for me. And I'd say, I can pray for you, but it helps if you holler help every once in a while, you know. So the opportunities that through what would seem to be, you know, a devastation has, I mean, I'm just, there's kind of an extra smile on my face.
Praise
because
God, yeah.
My God favors me. I'm the apple of his eye. And because I've been faithful to him, he's faithful to me. And so I would tell anybody that would trust God, he will bring you through, and he will set you up above. And the blessings of the Lord come on them and overtake them. And glory to God, I'm not going to preach anymore.
Amen. Amen.
So by the way, the 14th of October, which is next Friday.
I just want to say, is I wasn't going to say, but I think so I need to. Long time ago, not now, I have a hard time days of who I am, identify with God, and somehow I overcame. Last week, and I know who I am right now in the Christ, one of the teenagers, all of a sudden, I sense something, so I just tell her, I just say that, you know, is you have to love yourself the way you know who you are, and you can love other. If you don't know how to love yourself, you can't do anything, you know, you're not going to know who you are. And I just say that, and I just walk away, and somehow I didn't know she had a struggle. And week after I see her, she smiled, she come over to me, give me a hug. And hug, and is she tell mother I've been struggle that area. And she's give me a hug, just over you. Mm-hmm. And just give me a hug. Somehow, once in a while, is sensitive with these or somebody else.
Yeah.
We gotta know who we are, otherwise, anything that is. I was a long time ago struggle.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Sharon, I'll meet you halfway.
This week, I know lots of y'all know that I've started out in the operating room. I was working Monday through Friday, off holidays and weekends. And now I'm working on the floor, doing floor nursing. And that switched my schedule up where I only work 3 days a week, off four, which I love that part. But I have to work every other weekend, which consists of Saturday and Sunday. So I'm only here every other Sunday, but I'm off. So I told my boss when I transferred to the unit, I said, I get it with the every other weekend thing, But if I have to work every other Sunday, I'm not working any Wednesdays because I'm not, you know, going to work Wednesday and Sunday. It's not going to happen. And she said, okay, that's fine. So recently, that was back in February or March. And so everything's been just cooking along fine and everything. And this week, she approached me and said, we're very shorthanded on Wednesdays. Could you possibly work Wednesdays? And I said, no. I said, I tell you what, if you want me to work every other Wednesday, I said, I will not work every Wednesday. But they're shorthanded every Wednesday because that seems to be the day that people don't want to sign up on the schedule. And I said, I will work every other Wednesday to help you out, but I'll have off every Sunday. I said, so we can flip it around. I said, but I'm not missing church anymore. I said, God comes first, and then my family, and then you're a close third. she said, well, yeah, God comes first, except for when you're here on Sunday. I said, you know, God's given me the grace to do that. She said, well, maybe, we're just joking back and forth. She goes, well, maybe one day you'll have a position where you'll be off every Sunday. I said, if you can do that and make me work 3 days a week only, that's good. Let's do this. But so she was, I had given her a proposed schedule the following day, and it was where I would work. Anyway, my schedule would be a little different than now, but every other, and I told her, I said, I'm not kidding. I'm not going to work every other Wednesday and every other Sunday. I said, either it's one or the other, and if that doesn't work, I can apply somewhere else. And she said, oh, no, it'll be fine. She talked to me at the end of the day on Tuesday and said, your schedule's just going to be the same. We worked it out. So praise, I mean, that's just the favor of God. Yes. I love my boss. I love my job. I really love the hospital I work for. Everything's great, but I just won't do more. I mean, I miss church services. I'll help them out, however. But I told her, I said, God comes first. I'm not doing it.
So. Right.
But God worked it out, and everybody's blessed.
Praise God. Yeah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, that's been awesome. Anybody else got one that we're leaving out? Praise the Lord. Let's end with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you tonight for your goodness, your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the way we thank you, Lord, for how the revelation of who we are in Christ, how it's becoming so real to each of us in this body. And we thank you, Lord, for leading us into deeper things in every area of our lives and greater sensitivity. Lord, we're so glad that you don't look at us according to our shortcomings, but you look on us through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you love what you see. Father, we just thank you for what we've learned here these 4 weeks. We thank you, Lord, that as we apply it, we'll see more and more answers come. In Jesus' name, amen.